Reggie McNeil, several years ago, he's part of the Leadership Network of Dallas, he was looking at the downward trend in church attendance in America. And he had some interesting things to say about it as they surveyed different people. He said, many confuse downward statistics on church participation with a loss of spiritual interest in Americans. The truth is, although intrigue with institutional religion is down, interest in spirituality is up. See, as they talked to people, they found out that people had an interest in spirituality, but they weren't going to church. And he goes on, he says, many have observed that there's a spiritual awakening of kinds occurring in America. However, it's not informed by Christian theology, and it's not happening in the church. Now look at that and say, what's Reggie saying here? Well, first, he's not saying God's done with this church, because Reggie's a Christian. He believes in the church, okay? And he's not saying nothing good is going on in the church, but he's wrestling with two realities. Spiritual hunger's up, but church attendance is down. And he's asking the important question, what is wrong here? It's a good question, because think about it. People apart from Christ are broken and lost and headed for a Christless eternity in hell. The church, the true church of Jesus Christ, has the only real answer, the good news of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. Where's the disconnect? And I look at that and say, here's my question. Are people out there looking at our lives and the lives of our church and seeing anything that points to Jesus, anything supernatural about our lives, anything different about our lives? Or are we doing life and church in our own power? That's a really important question, because I want to say this. If we are ignoring the Holy Spirit and trying to do this thing in our own power, we need to remember what Jesus himself said in John 6:63. He said, it is the Spirit who gives life. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. It's no help at all. And I think about that. I think about the fact that there are plenty of spirits in the world which are vying for people's following. Many of those spirits are anything but holy. The only true life-giving spirituality comes from the Holy Spirit. So I want to spend a few weeks in a mini-series within our Acts series. This mini-series is called God in Me, the Holy Spirit. I want to introduce the Holy Spirit. So when we get to Acts 2 in a few weeks, we know who it was that came upon those believers in that upper room. And we know who it is that lives in every believer today. I'm sure for some of you, you know these things, and it's just going to shore up what you already believe and know about the Holy Spirit. And I hope that's encouraging for you. Some of you, it may open you to a whole new reality. I talked to someone after church a couple weeks ago, said, the church I grew up in never, ever even mentioned the Holy Spirit. I never heard about him. And I think for a lot of us, my hope is that it will just clear up some common misunderstandings. There are a lot of misunderstandings about the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been misunderstood or mistaken for someone you're not? It's happened to me a couple times. At least two times in my life, people have thought I was Mexican. I think it's the mustache, and in the summer I get a little darker. One time I was at the mall and someone was telling a racist joke about Mexicans, and then they saw me shopping nearby and they said, oh, I'm sorry. And I said, you should be sorry. You shouldn't be telling jokes like that, but I'm not Mexican. And then more recently, I was at a garage sale with my boys, and I was looking at a radio there, and the Hispanic woman having the garage sale came up to me, and I could tell she was giving me a sales spiel on the radio. It lasted about 1 minute, and the only word I was picking up was radio. And after listening for a while, I said, "No habla español." And she laughed, and then she shifted it into English. Okay, I was misunderstood in those situations. Not a big deal. I love Mexicans. I'm just not one, okay? Maybe you've been misunderstood sometimes, mistaken for something you're not. That wasn't a serious misunderstanding. I'm telling you, when we misunderstand the Holy Spirit, that has more serious implications. It can have profound implications. So I want to clear up four of the common misunderstandings that are out there about the Holy Spirit, and then send you off with an encouragement. First, I want to say this. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost. Okay, he's a spirit, a being without a body. And you can trace him throughout the Bible from Genesis 1:2. It says the spirit, the ruach, that's the Hebrew, the spirit of God was hovering over the waters there at creation. All the way to Revelation 22:17, the spirit, pneuma in the Greek, and the bride say, "Come." A lot of us grew up using the King James Version. I'm not knocking the King James Version. I memorized a lot of verses in the King James Version. It's a wonderful translation of the Bible. What I do want to say here is that word ghost, when it talks about the Holy Ghost, does not communicate the same way today it may have a few centuries ago. You know, I hear a ghost at the one extreme. I think of, and some of you in my generation will remember him, Casper the Friendly Ghost. Right? He's friendly, but he has little power. I think more than likely for most of us, we hear the word ghost and we think of those blood-curdling creatures we've seen in some horror movie. And we want nothing to do with that, right? And it, I think it can become an unnecessary mental hurdle in our understanding of the Holy Spirit in 2025, unless it's explained, okay? So I just want to say this. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost. He's a spirit. And you say, so what? Here's the so what. You can shed any unhealthy fear. You can shed any unhealthy fear you have of a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I said unhealthy fear because there's a healthy fear of God we should always hold on to. But you can shed any unhealthy fear you've had about the Holy Spirit, okay? Second, he's not a force. He is a person. He's a person. This is so important. You will hear this at the downtown square in Prescott, or at the parks around here, if you stop and talk to the Jehovah's Witnesses out there. For centuries, based on the false teachings of a man named Arius, they've taught that the Holy Spirit's not a person. He's a force, like fire or electricity, they might say today. But I want to tell you this morning, that's not true. He's a person. You say, well, doesn't a person have to have a body? No. No, a person just has to be personal, have intellect, emotions, and will. And if you trace the Holy Spirit through the Bible, you'll see he has all of those. Let me show you a couple passages, because I don't want you to take my word for it. John 16:13 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." Did you notice the word "he" in there? It's a few times, right? Okay, the Greek word for spirit in that verse is neuter. Now, we're going to get into grammar a little bit. There's masculine, there's feminine, and there's neuter. So normally, if you use a neuter word, you would use the neuter pronoun, which for a neuter word would be what? It. But even in the Greek, you can see that John used the masculine pronoun, ekenos, he. That makes no sense at all unless the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a he. How about Ephesians 4:30? do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul goes on to talk about how we do that. We do that through willing sin, not turning away from willing sin in our lives. It grieves him. It makes him sad. Now listen, I have never been plugging something into one of my outlets and heard a whisper out of there saying, I'm grieved by the way you behave today. My electricity's never said that. Grieving is something personal. It's something that a person is attached to, right? Let me go on. 1 Corinthians 12:11, talking about spiritual gifts in the church. It says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The Holy Spirit uses his will to determine what spiritual gifts you have and what spiritual gifts I have. People determine. Forces do not determine. How about this? Acts 13:2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. He spoke. That's a personal thing, okay? So the Holy Spirit is not a force. He's a person. So what, you say? You can have a relationship with him as a believer. You can have a relationship with him. Did you know that? Do you know that? Third, he's not just any person or any spirit. He is God. He is God. You can see this just in the common titles for him. There's a lot of spirits in the world, but he's commonly called throughout the Bible the Holy Spirit. He is the set-apart spirit. The pure spirit. Or how about this name for him? The Spirit of God. That's even more clear. You'll see that throughout Scripture. 2 Corinthians 3:18 is very clear on this point. We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Hard to get any clearer than that, right? The Holy Spirit is God. This is Christ is God. And the Father is God. He does things that only God can do. And we can't look at all these passages, but you may want to snap a picture and look these up later. You go throughout the Bible, you see him at work in creation, the virgin birth, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and even in your salvation, believer. Things that only God can do. Acts 5, Peter draws a direct parallel between the Holy Spirit and God. Acts 5, 3, Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? And then down just a little bit at the end, he says, you have not lied to men, but to God. Do you get the connection? You've lied to the Holy Spirit. You've lied to God. Why? The Holy Spirit is God. Okay? Another one in Acts. We'll see that the Old Testament is quoted, which you'll see a lot in Acts. Acts 28:25 says, the Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. So who does he say spoke there? The Holy Spirit spoke. Now guess what happens when you go back to that passage in Isaiah 6, verse 8? It says, then I heard the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. He, the Lord, said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Who spoke, the Holy Spirit or the Lord? Yes. Yes. This one's more subtle in English, but it drives the point home too. John 14:16, Jesus said to his guys in that upper room, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, right? We read another, and we just think, hey, it's going to be a different helper. But in the Greek, that word another is very specific. It means another of the same kind. Another of the same kind. It's one subtle way for Jesus to say, I'm God, he's God. He's going to be another helper of the same kind to you that I've been. It's hard to get more clear than Jesus' baptismal instructions in Matthew 28:19, right? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see the triune God there. One God, three persons, right? Now there's different roles. Different roles. The Father and Son, they send the Holy Spirit to believers. We see that in John 15:26. When the Helper comes, Jesus says, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. The Father and Son send the Spirit into every believer. The Spirit, you know what his role is? To glorify Jesus. To lift him up. John 16:14. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus says, he will glorify me. I'm glad he said that, because there's a built-in warning there for you and I. If you go to a church and you always hear about the Holy Spirit, but you never or rarely hear about Jesus Christ crucified, risen, ascended, run like the wind, bullseye. Because the Holy Spirit himself says, Jesus said he will glorify me. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will glorify me. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Except in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. So what? So what? We should honor him as God. Do you honor the Holy Spirit as God in your life? Next one. He lives in every single believer in Jesus Christ, not just an elite few. Not just an elite few. Romans 8:9 says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Pretty straightforward, right? It's a package deal. Someone tells you that they are or you are a Christian without the Holy Spirit, that's an oxymoron. It's an oxymoron. Just like someone out in a field without a ball saying they're playing baseball. You're not playing baseball. You're just standing in a field. Ephesians 1:13 says this, you also were included in Christ when? When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, when you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. When you believed, not sometime later does he come. When you believed. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Now listen, if you know anything about the church at Corinth, that's quite a statement. Because Paul was writing to a messed up bunch of Christians. At the beginning of the book, he calls them saints, but he goes on to say, some of you are carnal, some of you are worldly. And then here he says, your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. You say, how could that be in some of these carnal and worldly Christians? Listen, the Holy Spirit is a gift for all believers, just as your salvation itself is a gift received by grace through faith. God's gifts cannot be earned by our deeds. We see it's a gift in Jesus' own words, John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. That Greek word means to give as a gift. You cannot earn a gift. You simply receive that gift. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer. There's a couple so what's here. If I believe I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit who is God, I ought to live like I'm God's temple. I ought to use my body in ways that show it's God's temple. You ever watch Amazing Race? Where they go into one of those temples in some Eastern country, maybe a Buddhist country in some episodes, and they tell all the contestants before they go in all these rules. You got to take your shoes off. You got to whisper. And they go through all these steps to make sure they're being reverent in that temple. That's to a false god. We're the temple of the true God. And we got to ask, what kind of reverence am I showing? Do I believe God lives in here? Is my mind devoted to thinking God's thoughts? Is it full of his word? Are my lips devoted to speaking God's kind of words? Are my hands committed to doing God's deeds? Are my feet committed to go where God leads? If I'm a temple of the living God, that ought to change the way I live. That's a challenging so what. Here's an encouraging one for the believer. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, you are never alone. You are never alone. Some of you have been in moments where you felt that way. You felt like no one in the world is with you. You maybe even felt like throwing in the towel this week. Not worth going another step. You're never alone. I want to go back to John 14:16. I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. That word right there, you could spend weeks talking about that word. In the Greek, it's paraclete. The Holy Spirit is one called alongside you. And it's such a broad word. It's been translated many different ways. And I believe it encompasses all of these. Advocate. He stands for you, not against you. Counselor, to guide you, to remind you of the truth in God's word and lead you as you live it out. Comforter, anybody need comforting this morning? Someone to encourage you. To encourage you. Believer never has to pray, God, please be with me. He already is. He already is. So those are four misunderstandings. I want to close with a truth. The Holy Spirit brings three realities to the life of the believer. 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts. I'm going to use that word put as an acronym for the next several weeks to talk about three realities the Holy Spirit brings into the life of the believer. The P in put, he brings power. Anybody feel weak, aware of your own weakness? This is good news. The Holy Spirit brings power. Power to be born again. Power to overcome sin and walk in freedom in your life. To witness to others. The U, he brings unity. Unity between us and the Father. Unity between us and other believers. So if you're looking at your life and say, man, it's kind of characterized by separation in those relationships, you can be thankful for the Holy Spirit. And third, he brings the truth. Jesus said he will lead us into all truth. So if you're looking at life confused about what in the world is true, you can thank the Lord that he's given the Holy Spirit. We'll unpack those in the week to come. But when you put all those together, I want to say, so what? Depend on him. Depend on Him to do the good works in your life that God has called you to do. Think about some of the things Jesus said to His guys in the upper room. John 14:12. He said, "Truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." How would that be? How would that be? Well, go to John 16:7. He looks at that same group of guys, and he says, "It is to your advantage that I go away." And you can see them scratching their head. What are you talking about, Jesus? How is it to our advantage that you go away? He says, "For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." What's with this greater works? Well, think about it. Jesus' earthly ministry with the 12 up to this point was limited to a very small area of the Middle East, right? Where Jesus was in the flesh at that time. His ministry has now gone around the world. It's even here this morning in America, right? How? The Holy Spirit He sent goes in and with every believer to empower us to do the work of Christ. It's kind of like going from landline to 5G, only with no network shutdowns. And as I think about this series in Acts, I told Carolyn, I told a couple others in the church, some of my hope as we learn to depend on the Holy Spirit is that every believer in this church, if not already, would be equipped to witness, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those in their sphere. And that every believer would know, A, that they have spiritual gifts from God to use for ministry and what those gifts are. And I'm so excited to tell you, even as we've begun to pray about this in our family and at prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, we're already seeing it. Ministry is flowing outside of these walls. I'll give you just two examples, and I'm sure there are many more in this room that we're not even talking about. One is a man named David who's been coming to church here for the past few months. I started meeting with him. He had spent some time in law enforcement and seen all the dark things that people in law enforcement see. And as we met, he started to share, "I have a heart for other guys in law enforcement that are wrestling with stuff that they see." He said, "I want to reach them with the hope of Christ and the freedom that Christ can bring in that battle." I can tell you today that at last count, he told me he's already connected with four of those men in his field, sharing the hope of Christ with the men in his field. Let me share one more. Touchmark called a couple of weeks ago. That home up on the cliff near Walmart, they said they have a Sunday service once a month at 2 p.m. and asked if I would like to speak. And there's a big part of me that wanted to, but I was praying, "Lord, should I go, should I not?" And just a couple days later, I had a meeting with David back there. He had shared with me, "Hey, I want to serve the Lord in our community. Do you have any, or in our church, is there any ideas that we can talk about?" And when we met together that day, I said, "Hey, what have you done before? What's your passion?" He said, "I've spoken in some retirement homes and enjoyed that ministry." I said, "Well, that's interesting. Just 2 days ago, I heard about an opportunity." Well, David's going to be going there in March and sharing the hope of the gospel at Touchmark. How exciting. And I'm sure there are countless examples out here that I don't even know about. But the Holy Spirit goes in every believer. As we close this morning, I just want to ask a couple questions. Is there any unhealthy fear of the Holy Spirit you need to lay aside this morning? Are you enjoying a relationship with the Holy Spirit as a person, or so far has He been, in your mind, more of this force? Do you honor the Holy Spirit as God in your life? Believer, do you know you're a temple of the living God? Does that affect the way you live? And do you know, if you're discouraged this morning, that you are never alone? You're never alone. And lastly, are you depending on Him and His power to follow Christ? Are you struggling on your own? I think about the potential of all this, and I think about a lyric from a song by Switchfoot a few years back. The lyric went like this: "Why would I wait till I die to come alive?" It's a great lyric. A lot of times as Christians, we think about eternal life as someday when I get to heaven. But listen, the Bible teaches eternal life starts in you the moment you accept Christ as your Savior by faith, and He sends the Holy Spirit to live in you. But that's where it all starts. Have you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord? Package deal. I like what Lloyd Ogilvie said here. He said, "The Holy Spirit is often sought by people who want to bypass Jesus and His cross. That's like wanting a gift from someone whom we will not acknowledge or befriend." He says, "I've known countless people who have drifted into spiritualism or self-centered optimism who have sought the Holy Spirit without the message of Christ to guide their lives, or the cross to heal their personalities." It all begins at the cross, where Jesus died for your sin and mine. It goes to the empty tomb where He rose again. It all begins with Christ. Paul said it this way in Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Have you believed? After communion today, our prayer team's going to be up here. If you want to pray with them about that decision or anything else going on in your life, I invite you to come down. But for now, we're going to pray and prepare our hearts for communion. Lord, I put myself in the shoes of those disciples in that upper room when you told them it was to their advantage that you were going, and how confusing that must have been at that moment. Looking back, we can see the truth of that. You died, rose again for our sins, ascended to heaven, and you sent the Holy Spirit. I pray for anyone in this room that needs to start at the cross this morning, bring them to faith in Jesus as their Savior. But I pray for the believers too, that you would knock down any misconceptions, misunderstandings, or even ignoring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Help us be a people who walk in the Spirit, glorifying Christ as we depend on Him. We praise you for the cross. Pray that you prepare our hearts to remember the sacrifice. The Lamb of God spilled His blood for the sin of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.